Joseph Pasek of barnburner.ca, her daily podcast entitled Fired Up. And every week I have her on, I'm fired up. It's Nicole Monique of That's What She Said Sports, the best lady, female, whatever you want to call it, sports reporter in the country, let alone Canada. I have to put in North America. but you know, you're used to BG singing or whatever. I'm not going to sing because I want to invite you on every week. But anyways, let's get to college football. Let's start talking about every big conference. Go ahead. The floor is yours, and then we'll talk about the seedings as we head till Christmas and New Year's, bowl season, I guess.
Yeah, well, awesome. Well, thank you, Joe, again. It's always fun to be on and to hang out with you. And yeah, needless to say, I am full of emotions, good and bad. Yesterday was like a whirlwind. I almost felt like, Joe, when I'm watching these games, that I'm on the committee. It's all these scenarios of what if this happens, what if that happens. Well, what did happen is, first of all, the American Athletic Conference, probably one of the better games all year. If you didn't watch, you definitely missed a doozy. Memphis 55, UCF, as University of Central Florida 62, double overtime. Like I said, some calling it the game of the year, but UCF beat Memphis in double overtime. And what was so interesting about this game was right after it, Joe, Nebraska announced that the coach for UCF, Scott Frost, which is a native of Nebraska, and he also is an alum, is going to be the new head coach. And, you know, sometimes you get this news and you think teams are going to be mad. UCF and the UCF community totally embraced him. They're, like, happy for him. The guys are happy for him. And he's actually going to be coaching at the bowl game, too. So, you know, kudos to him and all that he's done with that school. But then, Joe, we had the Big 12 championship, and you know how I feel about Baker Mayfield. Well, anyway, he threw for 4 touchdowns. And they staked the claim to the playoff spot with a 41-17 win over TCU. And needless to say, Mayfield, who's a front runner for the Heisman, which is going to be named next week, he finished 15 of 23 passing for 243 yards, and he took the game MVP honor. So, you know, I wasn't too thrilled about that because I did not want Baker Mayfield to win the Heisman. Obviously, it was looking like he's a shoe-in. And, of course, Oklahoma, you know, was definitely a shoe-in for a playoff bid. I was really surprised about this game, Joe, because I thought TCU was going to play better than this, especially the way they played all season. And TCU is normally not a team that's intimidated, but it seemed like they just could not get their stuff together yesterday. And Oklahoma just kept pushing them to where I looked like almost by the third quarter they pretty much had given up. So then that leads us, Joe, to the game that was here in Atlanta where I'm located. The SEC championship, the game everybody wanted to see, almost, except Bama, because they thought they were going to be in the SEC championship, and it didn't work out. But UGA wanted sweet revenge. What's the saying? Revenge is sweet. Well, UGA couldn't wait, and they did what they had to do by beating Auburn 28-7. Now, Joe, Georgia had hired Kirby Smart 2 years ago with the goal of competing for SEC and national championships. And folks, if you don't know, Kirby Smart actually came from Alabama. So, needless to say, this is really looking really good. UGA is very excited. And did you know, Joe, that Georgia had not won? Well, actually, their first national championship was since 1980. Herschel Walker was a freshman the last time they won. And Herschel Walker is, like, what, 120 now? Well, I'm just kidding because we saw him at the game. But he looks good. But let's just say he's an older guy now. So needless to say, it's been a long time coming for UGA. Now, the championship game that I really did not want to talk about, and Joe, you know, over Twitter, you and I had some words because, you know, we both feel about Ohio State. But let's talk about this Big Ten championship where Ohio State won 27-21. I don't know what the hell happened to Wisconsin. It was like they put their head in the sand. I'm like, this is your moment. You're undefeated. I'm trying to get you guys to the Final Four. And the first three quarters, nothing. By the time they showed some momentum, it was already too late. But I will tell you, the best part of the game is when the turf ripped and we had this guy who had to fix the turf and it was like this lengthy delay. My vote for him as far as MVP honors of the whole game, because that guy was working it. It had to be about 15, 20 minutes. The nation was watching him. It just was, unfortunately, it happened around the time when Wisconsin was actually picking up some speed and then we just had to stop the game. So it was just one of those things that was disappointing, but Ohio State, contrary to belief, you know, they didn't kill Wisconsin like they did a couple of years ago, where it was 59-0. So by the time Wisconsin was showing like, oh, we got this, just time ran out, which is unfortunate to them. And speaking of time running out, the ACC championship. What the hell happened in Miami? I mean, Mark Richt, I know he's known for choking, but dang, did he choke. He lost to Clemson 38-3. And those little 3 points, I mean, granted, you know, you totally didn't want to get beat, but seriously, 3 points, they're using words like demolished, killed, destroyed. I mean, we can't run. We can't even go through all the different adjectives that people are using as far as this game's concerned. But Clemson definitely looked like the team to beat, which leads us, Joe, to our beautiful college football playoff schedule. And I'll turn it back over to you.
All right, take a breath, and we're going to talk about a bowl season. You know, it's the holidays. Everybody's full of bowls or whatever. And let's go with the two teams you mentioned in the Orange Bowl. Wisconsin, who's now the number 6 seed, taking on the U, Miami, Florida, number 10 seed.
Yes.
Both these guys coming off disappointing games, like you mentioned. Who do you got in this one? Because it's now it's 6 and 10, and both of them before this weekend had a chance to be in the playoffs.
Yeah, both of these teams were like, I mean, these were like the guys that came in out of nowhere. I mean, these were like these golden nuggets that helped and made college football so awesome to watch over the season. I mean, Wisconsin, who'd ever thunk that a team like this would be undefeated? And then Miami, you know, all the stuff they've gone through, and sometimes, you know, the whole, you know, kind of coming back from where they were from back of the day. So this is going to be one of those games where both of them definitely have something to prove. I think the winner out of this, Joe, honestly, is going to be Miami, because it's just it's their time. And I know Mark Richt is sick with some of the decisions that he made. So to kind of save face, I say Miami winning this, and next season I think you're going to see a totally different team, and I think Miami can be one of those teams to watch as far as in the Final Four next season.
All right, before we get to the typical playoff, I want to touch on one other team or one other game, the possible number 8 seed USC against your favorite team. Yeah, right. Ohio State. Now, let's talk about this one, because I'm not even going to ask you who you got, because, you know, Michigan, Ohio State or whatever. But forget about this game for a second. Out of every game here, of course, 1, 2, 3, 4 seedings, okay, those are going to be what people are watching or whatever. But give me one or two bowl games that you got to keep your eye on, because it's not like, you know, it's not like they're going to make the playoffs and everything like that, but it's going to be a tremendous game.
Well, I mean, I think first of all, like you said, I mean, I think the bowl game that everybody is definitely going to want to watch is the when you talk about Wisconsin-Miami. I think right off the bat, that's going to be definitely a popular bowl game. So, you know, I'm looking forward to that one. I think really the games everybody's going to want to see are going to be those Final Four games. I think those are going to be the games that everybody, like, for instance, the Rose Bowl, Georgia and Oklahoma. Georgia definitely can taste, you know, a national championship. Like I said, they haven't had it since 1980. But Oklahoma, they played with such swag, and this team is vibing. Out of all the teams, this is a team that's definitely cohesive. They're together. They're coming together as one. They got a quarterback, love him or hate him. He's doing his thing. This is going to be that game, because this is going to be, I believe, whoever can win this game could possibly win it all. And then for saying that, then you have, as far as, you know, the game between Alabama and Clemson. Clemson wants revenge. I mean, that seems to be kind of a theme of the season. So Clemson wants revenge. They were already embarrassed by Alabama. A lot of Alabama, you know, a lot of people are pissed, like me, that they're in. I don't feel like they should have been the Final Four, because I think, and Joe, I'm going to shock you, I think USC should have been in that spot. Because if the committee is going on strength of schedule, and as far as, you know, as far as winning a conference championship, USC had all the ingredients. Plus, there's not any team, you know, from the West Coast that's really being represented. I mean, I'm very bummed that the Big Ten can't get a break. But there's no reason that two SEC schools should be in the Final Four. They should have totally messed it up and put it through an SC and let everybody just totally be like, what's going on, instead of kind of catering to Nick Saban in Alabama. So for me, I do want Clemson to get that revenge and beat Alabama. I think that's going to be a good one. And then, of course, it's kind of bittersweet, but, you know, Michigan and South Carolina are going to be playing. But, you know, it's one of those things where obviously I want Michigan to win. So that's going to be an interesting game. But really, I think this year, the final four games, or excuse me, the final four teams playing are going to be the most interesting because there's so many different scenarios. But I think most of the country outside of, if you live in Alabama, they do not want Alabama to win. So that's going to be the key.
So do you think the committee got it right? Like, I know you mentioned, so 1-3 out of four, right?
They got 3 out of 4 right, and let me tell you why. Because I know Ohio State people are upset, but Ohio State, I got one word for you. It's called Iowa. Iowa killed you and embarrassed you, and they didn't just beat you. I mean, they beat you down like Rocky Balboa kind of beating. So you guys shouldn't even be at the table. And I know some people wanted as far as, you know, Wisconsin, but Wisconsin got embarrassed in the conference championship, so they shouldn't be there. Auburn, you got beat. That only leaves in USC, Penn State, or Miami, which Miami then got beat. Penn State, unfortunately, they had too many losses and their strength of schedule. USC would have been the better choice. They had all the ingredients as far as they had the strength of schedule, you know, the overall what they did for the year. Plus, it would just been really cool to get USC should have gotten that fourth spot. I think the committee catered to Nick Saban, and they just catered to because it's a Bama team. But I think if people truly look at this Alabama team, Joe, they weren't as strong as the Alabama team from 2 or 3 years ago. They did not deserve to be at the table. So they did get Clemson, Oklahoma, Georgia, but I think they embarrassed themselves by just putting in Alabama just to kind of, you know, hey, this should be a good game. We want more than a good game. We want it to be fair to all the schools. And I feel like it's not fair. And I also wanted to kind of, you know, break down what let people know who are not familiar as far as what the committee is looking for. It says that the committee looks for strength of schedule, head-to-head, conference titles, and common opponents. Now, to me, if that's the case, well, then USC definitely should have been there because Alabama didn't even get a conference title. And their schedule was ranked something like 69th as far as strength of schedule, whereas USC's strength of schedule was ranked like number 11. And to me, that speaks volumes that the committee caved. So it's really disappointing. I mean, I don't want the BCS back. I don't want a computer generating it again because whatever reason, the computer always loved SEC schools. But I just want it fair and I want it to be a good game. And I don't want schools to feel like, man, if we lose twice and we're not in the SEC, we don't have a chance.
All right. Now, final thought here. They talk about top four teams, but why don't they make a real sort of playoff system where, you know, like NHL, NBA have the top 16. I'm not talking about maybe top 16, maybe top 8 or top 10 schools.
Exactly, exactly. And this is the year to where we now can say we have the argument for the top 8 schools. Because, yo, look at the top 8. After Clemson, Oklahoma, Georgia, Alabama, you have Ohio State, Wisconsin, Auburn, USC. How sweet would that have been to have these top 8 schools vying for the number one championship? Because even with the conference title losses, all of them could have still had opportunity to play for the national championship. So just to have the top 4, and I think it will change over time. I don't know how they'll do it, but this is definitely this season is an argument where we have to have at least 8, if not 12 schools vying for the national game.
Now, how long would that do you think will they implement that? Because, okay, they finally implemented the top 4. It took them years and years and years. Let's go from 4 to 8 or 8 to 12. Because I think, like, to be honest with you, the NBA, NHL, 16 teams make it. I think maybe that's too much. But maybe you could put 8 or 12. You know, in NFL, 6 teams make it in the, you know, AFC, 6 teams make it in the NFC. So take something from the NFL, maybe 12 teams make it based on your schedule, based on how bad you beat your opponents, or whatever, and take that and iron out something. Because if you're going to have a sort of a system where you have a top 14, how fair is that to the fifth or sixth seeded teams? You know, like, forget about, you know, your school, my school, or whatever, but be fair and everything, and forget about this strength of schedule or whatever. Every year you're going to have, okay, Alabama, Oklahoma. Every year they're known as certainly a top 5 or 10 team. So,
I think the only difference is, the only caveat I would see is at the end of the day, we are talking about college kids. And that's why there's always like this month gap before the games, because they have the holiday, they have classes.
Yeah.
So I think that's the hardest thing that sometimes you have to take into consideration. Because I know for me, I'm like, let's play these games like next week. But these kids have classes, They have tests. They have finals. Some are graduating. Then you have the holidays. So if there's a way to somehow ramp it up, I think that's probably the only thing that's kind of keeping some of the schools hesitant to push forward. Because we have to look at the end of the day. I mean, that kind of goes into the other argument that we've had having for years as far as paying these athletes. I mean, these are student athletes. We do have to keep that consideration. But I do think the committee has to do their due diligence as far as allowing other schools in. If not, we're going to have this same argument every year with this same Final Four, at least until Nick Saban, you know, retires.
Well, basically, you can play, let's say there's 12 teams, play, you know, four games on December 30th, four games on December 31st, four games on January 1st, and then the final January 8th. So that's true. You know, and do what the NFL does. They have games at 1 o'clock, games at 4 o'clock, games at 7 o'clock. Simple.
Yeah.
And if you want to have a game at 10 o'clock, fine. You know?
Right. But then, you know, then that's a whole argument, too, because now that we have those games of December 31st, some people start complaining, oh, it messes up my New Year, blah, blah, blah. I mean, at the end of the day, nobody's ever going to be happy. I think they're trying to, you know, look at all the circumstances as far as what could happen. I do agree with you. I think that would be cool as far as the 31st and the 1st and to kind of split it up the four games. Or, hell, you could do it over three games. But we definitely need to open up more schools because these schools are getting better. They're doing better with recruiting. And, you know, either the committee is going to have to change what they're looking for as far as their requirements, or they're going to have to be honest with themselves and say, look, sometimes it can't be the same old schools. And I don't think it's right. Unless they deserve it, you should not have two schools from the same conference in the Final Four. I mean, unless, you know, the numbers speak for itself, I get it. But when they don't just do it just because based on what we know about the SEC. And I'm not saying that even as somebody who's Big Ten. I'm saying that as somebody who just wants a fair game and likes good quality football. That's why I said USC could have been up there as far as on the fourth spot.
And that's 100%. Now you know why I say this lady is one of the best in sports media, Nicole Monique. That's what she said, sports. Tell everybody how they could get a hold of you.
Like always, you can follow me on barnburner.ca. You can see my show there weekly. I'm also on Spreaker. And, of course, you can follow me up on Twitter at TWS Sports. You can go to my website, twssports.com. Like us on Facebook and Instagram at She Says Sports. And, Joe, as always, it's just always a pleasure to talk good old-fashioned sports with you. I always appreciate it.
All right. Well, that's Nicole Monique. That's what She Said Sports. Check her out on the various platforms. And simply one of the best lady sports media person in the world. That's what She Said Sports. Check it out here on barnburner.ca. As we close this segment out, Nicole, I'm going to ask you this. Give me a few words on how the college football season was in your eyes.
Well, as always, I mean, this is probably one of my favorite seasons, my favorite time of the year. I love college football. It gives you the highs and lows. It gets you excited like you see me. It gets you mad like you've seen me and heard me. I mean, it's just been an awesome season. And I think more importantly, what I love is you have some of these underdog teams have really stepped into the plate. I mean, I really did like seeing a team like a UCF go undefeated. It was cool to see Wisconsin, you know, step up. It was awesome to see like Penn State totally change their program. So it has just been another great season. Always looking forward to the next year, how we get bigger and better. And it's just fun. I think the one word when it comes to college football, it's always fun. And, you know, these guys play with such heart. They have nothing to lose. And, you know, maybe that's part of it as far as being young with nothing to lose and not getting paid. You play with all this passion. And if as a fan, I love it. And I'm already excited and can't wait until next season.
And I just have a text message, or actually an email from one guy for your colleague, BG, there. He wants to take singing lessons. Does BG provide singing lessons? I'm not joking. This guy's name is Peter Klein. So, Peter, I asked the question to Nicole. Nicole, can you translate it to BG there? Because he wants to take singing lessons from BG.
I'll let B know that. He will love that. He will love that.
All right. And final question. I know this is not college football, but you're based out of, well, now Atlanta, but formerly Michigan or whatever. today they tried to implode Pontiac Silverdome.
The Pontiac Superdome.
And,
yeah.
And
yeah,
you know, they did
how
that.
Close people are in Detroit.
Exactly. It was built, I'm going to use Detroit. I don't know if it's Ford's in Detroit, but Ford Tough, because they didn't implode anything. What are your thoughts about that as we close this out?
Well, again, you know, I have one side of my family who has season tickets to the Detroit Lions, so they're a tough group. But that just goes to show you how tough they are in Detroit. And, yeah, it definitely is Ford Tough, which Ford is based out of Detroit. So, to me, I'm not surprised that they couldn't knock the building down, because that's the spirit of Detroit. With everything they've gone through, you're not going to knock those folks down. So, but if anything, it's definitely funny to see something, you know, blow up. People are like, oh, it was the wiring. Yeah, whatever. It's all about Detroit. And then, you know, we're tough. You know me. I'm from Michigan. I'm a tough chick.
That's right. And one of the best chicks in the world. That's Nicole Mooney. That's what she said. Thanks a lot, Nicole.
Thanks, Joe. Talk to you later.